Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Clark, Rich Stang, the Leon on Stang, and Bruce Kaufman, Human Circuit. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Chris Mann, CEO of Morgan Franklin Consulting, Kasim Hussein, COO of Green Zone Solutions, Glenn Merberg, and Patrick Acheson, Managing Principal of Quadrant, and Chris Wines, President of Meta Solutions. Let's get to know our first guest, Chris Mann, who's CEO of Morgan Franklin Consulting. Chris, what is Morgan Franklin Consulting? What are you guys doing?
Morgan Franklin Consulting is a 300-person employee-owned company that serves both commercial and government businesses and helps them transform their organizations during times of transaction and chaos. Mm-hmm. We've been around. We're actually about to experience our 20th anniversary this coming year.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from the area, Rockville, Maryland.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got two younger sisters.
So you're the oldest of three.
I am the oldest of three.
And what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
When I was younger, I played a lot of basketball and swimming.
Basketball and swimming. What was your role in that basketball team?
So from a basketball standpoint, I was always a little bit one of the shorter ones. So I was the point guard.
What was the role of the point guard? When you were playing basketball, what did you make that role to be?
Well, for me, it was about trying to find the players on the court in the right position to put them in a position to be successful. And if I had the opportunity to get a shot myself, I would do that. But I was always trying to distribute first.
Wait. So you're telling me the role of the point guard was to keep an eye on the field and the players and to put everybody in the right kind of position. And then if you got a chance to take a shot, that'd be great too, right?
At the end of the day, it was about winning and about scoring. And you had to score more points than the other team. So whoever could make that happen, we'd make that happen.
What's that have to do with building this organization known as Morgan Franklin Consulting?
It's actually very parallel. We have a company that's got a diverse group of people that has great experiences and great expertise, and it's about putting the right people in the right places with their clients and with our initiatives.
I just thought I'd ask. You mentioned you were involved with swimming. I'm trying to what was going on with swimming in you?
Well, for me, swimming is actually a family thing. My sisters, who were both younger, they actually started swimming before I did, so I kind of joined. I was the last one to join, and I was a little bit behind the curve when I started, which was at age 13. So it taught me a lot of work ethic and about really trying to keep up with my peers and work hard to improve.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that the point guard basketball, which is keeping an eye on the field and figuring out where people fit, coupled with, you know what it's like to have to come from behind, is giving you the competitive spirit in terms of building this business, but you don't have to be the one out front. It's the team that you want to win?
100%.
Interesting. And there's a young lady here with you. Her name's Amanda, who's been working with you for about a year. Amanda, could you grab that microphone? Amanda, I understand that you guys have been working together for about a year. What was his reputation when you joined the firm?
Sure. His reputation was impeccable when I joined.
Well, what do you mean it was impeccable? That's an interesting word.
Chris had been with the firm for about 11 years when I came on board, and we were going through a transition where the current CEO was departing, and several folks internally were vying for the role as chief.
Why do you think he got the job?
I think his reputation preceded him.
Because he was the best politician?
Absolutely not. Chris was honest. Chris is in it for the internal stakeholders of the organization.
So you're telling me that point guard stuff that he was doing when he was a kid, coupled with coming behind and swimming, really helped vault him into the front position. Richard, what questions do you have?
I was focused on your early experience and educational background as a CPA. From my experience, CPAs aren't known as people persons. Where does your unique people skills come from?
Well, I think I learned from an early age. My father actually was an accountant as well, but with a Big Four firm, and he taught me early on that it wasn't really about the accounting aspects; it was about the relationships that you build.
At your father's funeral, didn't you give the eulogy?
I did.
What was that about?
Well, first of all, he was a tremendous role model to me, and one of the things that was most impressive about him to me, watching him as I was growing up, is that I don't think he had one enemy on the planet. He was a kind, honest, open person.
What's that have to do with you?
Well, it showed me the way. It taught me that you can respect others and be empathetic to others and help others be successful. And the more you help others, the more they'll come help you as well. And so it's
Bruce.
Before the show, we talked about the infamous Fitch letter, which was a key moment you sort of remember in your life. Where your mom took a teacher to task for not treating you the way she thought she would treat it. How did that propel into your career like that?
Well, it was important because to me that was about someone who's very close to me having my back and putting me in a position to be successful. And so that's the same thing I try to do on a daily basis, is make sure I've got the backs of my partners and all the 300 employees of Morgan Franklin, as well as the clients that we serve.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Richard, David.
How young were you when you started making money?
About 15.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing?
So sticking with the swimming concept, I actually was a lifeguard and did some swim coaching as well early on, and kept doing that really throughout my college years as well.
And lifeguarding is a lot of responsibility at that age.
A lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And what did that mean to you within your team, within your neighborhood pool?
Well, I mean, I was working at my neighborhood pool, and so I had a vested interest in making sure that everybody that was there was safe. It also gave me an opportunity to work side by side with friends and peers and again, build positive relationships. And many of the people I worked with during those high school years, both as a guard and a coach, are people that I still see today and I'm still friendly with.
Well, you're all about relationships, aren't you, Richard? What else do you think?
Well, I just want you, expanding on those relationships would be interesting. I mean, and I understand now you've been elected by the other 15 managers or managing partners in your firm now as the managing director. So how did all of that come about from your experiences as when you were younger?
Well, I think, again, it really had to do with me having the relationships with the people in the firm, and really understanding what it was going to take as a collective group to be successful. I'm really in this for the team and for the group of people that I'm working with. I've never really been about setting myself out, alone. I know that it's really important for us as a group to be able to succeed together.
So it sounds like you've continued as the point guard throughout your career.
Tried to.
What are you thinking?
What made you want to make the career shift from being a CPA to now coming over to Morgan Franklin?
I think what I wanted to do in coming to a consulting firm, which is a smaller firm, is to be able to make a difference, and really to take the positives of what I learned from being in the Big Four in professional services into a smaller organization that could really truly make a difference.
Would you say you learned the most from your mom or your dad when you were growing up?
I would say both. I would say I learned a great deal from my dad about the relationships we've been talking about, but also from my mom, I learned a ton about just the importance of attention to detail and watching out for others.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, you have another question there? David? Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the best part of your day?
The best part of my day is seeing individuals within my firm at all levels having success. Mm-hmm. And success can be defined in many different ways.
Are you married or single?
I'm married.
Uh-huh. You have any kids?
Four.
four kids. What's the similarity between, it says here you're the CEO of Morgan Franklin. What's the similarity between being a CEO and being a dad?
it's probably more challenging being a dad at times. The personalities and the issues that you deal with can be much more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three boys and a girl, and they're all in the college, high school age range.
You see similarities there between being the CEO and being a dad, though?
Absolutely.
Why?
I just think you have to manage every issue and make sure that you're thinking logically and putting.
What do you mean by manage every issue? What are you talking about there?
So, on any given day, you never know what might arise.
Is this at work or at home?
Both.
Oh, yeah. Keep on going.
Both. Yeah. I mean, you really have to take every conversation, every meeting, every discussion on its own, and understand how it impacts that individual, and how we can come to a conclusion and an answer that will be most beneficial.
Well, on one hand, I hear you're taking into consideration everybody else, but what's that have to do with where you want to go?
I feel like as a group we're greater, and so to me all I want to be able to do is put others in position to be successful, and I'll be able to go along for the ride is the way I look at
it. Bruce, you have a question there? Richard, you have another question? Question, yeah, Richard. Mm-hmm. The question I've got for you though is, doesn't it come to a point where you don't want somebody on the team?
It happens. It happens from time to time. And
when that happens, you get real angry and scream at them and stuff like that?
No. I mean, it's all about setting individuals up. And a lot of times when you get to a conclusion in a company perspective that you think that person's not right for the team anymore, it's probably not right for them either. And so you try to have a conversation with that individual and set them up for success.
Wow.
In their next venture, whatever that might
be. Wow, I've learned. I'm glad we had a chance to interview you. Chris, what's the website address for Morgan Franklin Consulting?
MorganFranklin.com.
MorganFranklin.com. We've been speaking with Chris Mann, CEO of Morgan Franklin Consulting, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. Nice interview. And your name is?
Leslie Smalls.
And Leslie, what organization do you work with?
Human Circuit.
And what's your role in that organization, Human Circuit?
I'm the marketing and sales administrator.
Uh-huh. And you mentioned earlier that you've got a good eye for detail, and I'm trying to figure out what an eye for detail has to do with marketing.
Well, it helps to create a consistent message across the board for all the marketing materials that we put out to our customers and potential customers.
So what kind of marketing materials do you put out for your customers and potential customers?
Well, I create ads, and we've created brochures. We've also recently celebrated our 50th anniversary, and we created a 50th anniversary kind of video to promote that.
So you're involved with taking these marketing materials and making sure that people see them?
Yes. I try to push those out to our social media sites like Facebook and LinkedIn. We also have a company blog, too.
Uh-huh. And you're concerned that not only you're pushing this stuff out, but it's a consistent message.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that our customers know what we can do for them.
You want to make sure your customers know, but doesn't that change?
It can change from time to time, but then that's where we kind of maybe change our messaging a little bit, and we evolve over time.
So even though the messaging needs to be consistent today, you still got to keep evolving the message as the technology changes, and you can provide different solutions for your clients.
The content needs to be fresh and current with what our clients need.
Well, how often do you have to freshen the content?
Frequently, actually, that we come to find out we need to be on top of it. It's daily, not just
and that's
weekly
your role,
or monthly.
Huh? What's the website address for your organization?
That's humancircuit.com.
How do you spell that?
HumanCircuit.com.
Human Circuit, and you're the marketing and sales administrator for Human Circuit.
Yes.
And this has been your business spotlight.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years' experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. Again, that's 800-213-9256.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Kasim Hussein, who's the COO of an organization known as Green Zone Solutions. Kasim, what is Green Zone Solutions? What do you guys do?
Herb, thanks for having me on the show. Green Zone is a woman-owned 8A government contracting firm that specializes in innovative methods, technologies, and tools to help the government drive change and automate and innovate their processes.
Interesting. So you mentioned that you were born in Pakistan. You came to the United States at the age of six. For a variety of reasons, you went back to Pakistan, and then you came back to the United States when you were 18. And I'm trying to get a sense of what was the impact of all that? How'd that all shape you, moving back and forth from Pakistan to the U.S. to Pakistan back to the United States?
I think it gave me a great cultural appreciation for the third world and Asia, but also a great appreciation for being American, mm-hmm. and what we have here, and what the American dream, to be honest with you.
Bruce, didn't you have some sort of a thought about how that also might have shaped them?
Yeah, well, we talked about it. It was just sort of an interesting equal increment, 6 years at a time. So you compartmentalize, I think is the way you phrased it, and the impact of 6 years, 6 years, 6 years, and the impact that specific piece had for you.
Yeah, in terms of your business.
Absolutely. I think what it's helped me do is, as part of a team, of course, because you can't just do it all yourself, it has helped me help to drive change in the business, as well as build relationships from customer to customer.
So when you're meeting with a customer, you're able to quickly grasp what they need and keep it compartmentalized, mainly because you, as a kid, you moved, and you really dealt with these cultures deeply.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And I'm not afraid not only of change for myself, right, but also introducing
change. Also, you mentioned that in terms of you're the oldest of five, and then also in terms of your father's side, you're the oldest cousin of, 20. What was the effect of that on you back then?
Responsibility and being a role model.
What do you mean, responsibility and being a role model? How's that affecting you nowadays? This business, this organization known as Green Zone Solutions, whose idea was it?
So I was the I came up with the concept, and then I pitched it to my brother and my mother.
Interesting.
And so we co-founded.
So you're an initiator. So being the oldest, the responsibility is also you turned into initiating. Tell us about the effect of your grandfather on you.
Absolutely. My grandfather was the rock and the foundation of the family. He not only built his own businesses, but he supported his own siblings, their children, putting people through college.
And this is in Pakistan.
Yes.
And you know this. You knew this. You mm-hmm. hung out with your grandfather.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And when you were a kid, how young were you when you got a sense that you might want to run your own business?
I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade, and I just had this desire that I would be a business. I didn't really know what it meant, but I'd be a businessman one day.
So you had a vision when you were a really young kid that you were interested in being in business. Richard, what do you think?
When you were young and figuring out that you were going to run a business, I mean, how does that extend to, you know, being a leading provider of innovative solutions to the government, to the U.S. government, as a matter of fact?
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to Herb's earlier question, because you know, my family had been back and forth. I didn't grow up building a solid network and stuff. So I've always found that, you know, to have my back against the wall, where I've had to innovate and come up with new concepts and ideas that we can bring to the government.
So you felt your back was up against the wall. So being the oldest cousin, the oldest sibling, you knew you had to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Huh, you really see a parallel. Am I putting words in your mouth, or is there really a parallel there where you knew you had to make it happen?
I think that very much is the case, and I didn't know the alternative.
Uh-huh. Jen, David, who's got the next question?
So you had mentioned earlier that your father was in a lot of different business ventures. What impact did your mom have, though? She's obviously involved in the business now.
Yeah, I mean, where my father was more, you know, entrepreneurial and salesy, my mother was the disciplinarian. So as we grew up, and I'm one of five, I'm the eldest of five, my mother definitely built discipline in our family to the point where other members of the extended family would point towards us saying, look at their kids, you know. And so that, combined with me being the eldest, I really had a lot on my shoulders.
David, what are you thinking?
Your mother was a businesswoman. Had experience in banking, and I'm interested in that. She was an example for you, and you obviously, as eldest sibling, eldest cousin, had the lead by example every day.
Yep.
And you now have a woman owns majority-owned small business. So tell about your mother's influence on you in business.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. My mother, not only was she in banking for about a decade, but, you know, where she comes from, you cook every day and you feed the family and so forth. And so she did it all. And so she taught us about work ethic and discipline. And, you know, as being part of the family business and being the CEO, everything about her work ethic and what she's taught us is weaved through the fabric of the company and how we build the culture and how we treat our employees and our customers.
Bruce, do you have another question?
Well, I'm qualified to ask this question since I worked with my dad. Most people would tell you you're crazy to work with family members. There must have been a family dynamic that you developed over time that said this is a safe bet.
I think it's having each other's back, and knowing that people are counting on you, especially being the eldest. And my parents didn't really plan much for like retirement and things like that, and I always wanted to, and I've always been sort of dependent upon to provide for the family, to be there for everyone. And so that was a big consideration.
Uh-huh. Is your grandfather around nowadays, or is he
passed? No, he passed away about 7 years ago.
How do you think Grandpa would feel if he walked through the front doors of your office?
I think he'd be extremely excited and happy. When I was younger, and he said, you're really smart, and so on and so forth, he wanted me to be a doctor, and I certainly didn't have the attention span.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think he'd be proud nowadays, if he assuming he knows what you're doing?
Because he built his own insurance business, and then he was successful in real estate. And I think to see his eldest grandson build something from scratch and, you know, put in a lot of hard work and provide and contribute to the growth of the family would really make him happy.
This eldest grandson really is a big deal in the culture you come from, isn't it?
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're continuing to set an example for the next generation.
I am, and I've got four kids of my own, three boys and a girl, and so there's added responsibility on my shoulders there.
Well, you just lit up when you said that. You really enjoy that responsibility.
It just comes to me naturally, and I enjoy, you know, running a business as well as when I mean, it's a jungle when I get home in the evenings, but it's definitely very gratifying.
So you are your grandfather. You're the current generation of your grandfather, aren't you?
Those are big shoes to fill, but If I could even, you know, be a fraction of what he was, that would be amazing.
Uh-huh. Interesting. What's the website address for this organization?
Sure. It's greenzoneinc.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Sure. greenzoneinc.com.
How interesting. We've been speaking with Kasim Hussain, COO of Green Zone Solutions here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host David Kunzman, Praturi Law, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnetto Carpridge, Stang, the Leon and Stang, and Bruce Kaufman, Human Circuit. This is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV on your time.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the 5 little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Glenn Merberg and Patrick Acheson, managing principals of an organization known as Quadrant. What is Quadrant?
Quadrant is a federal contractor. We do systems integration and technology consulting work.
How large and how small is this organization?
We're about 70 employees now.
And I understand you both had your own individual businesses and decided 17 years ago or something to merge them together. And you guys found out an interesting coincidence from where you're from. Where are you from?
Good.
We're from that town, Orangeburg, New York, and just outside New York City.
So you guys were both working in the Washington, D.C. area and found this out? Uh-huh. And let's see here. So I guess the question becomes, what do you guys do different from each other? So what do you guys do different from each other?
So I think, this is Glenn, I think that Patrick is kind of a born leader, walks into a situation, knows what he wants to do, gets everybody rowing in the same direction. And I think my strength is more along the lines of being kind of more empathic and getting the team functioning as a team.
All right. Patrick, so let's take a look here. How young were you when you started making money?
I was probably 10.
Doing what?
Probably you named the job. I was doing it. I delivered papers. I mowed lawns. I wound up doing shoveling driveways, whatever I could do.
Didn't you also work at a gas station?
I did. When I was 16,
What were you doing different than the other kids that worked at that gas station?
Well, I wound up becoming the kid responsible for managing all the other gas pumpers and doing all the scheduling and hiring and firing of all the
kids. So you were running the operation at the age of 16. You were supposed to be pumping gas, and ended up being the boss. Huh?
Kind of, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Is there any parallel between that and what your role is in this company that you co-founded?
I would say that obviously I learned a lot about how to manage people. In that job, I definitely dealt with a lot of people that were way more diverse than my friend group was.
And Patrick, what does Glenn do different or better than you do?
I think Glenn is much more detail-oriented and much more focused on the here and now and the present. I tend to not like to get bogged down in the detail.
Mm-hmm. And Glenn, how young were you when you started making money?
I had the normal jobs when I was, 8 to 15 or so, doing driveways and shoveling snow and stuff. Uh-huh. My first real job was at a hardware store when I was about 15 years old.
And what was your job at the hardware store?
It was a small family-owned hardware store when that used to exist, and so it was just, I was the guy behind the counter that helped people when they came in.
So somebody would come in and say, this broke, I need a screw, or this, so you'd just give them what they wanted.
No, I think we were talking earlier about the fact that the thing I loved about the hardware store is you're a problem solver. People came in with a problem and a story, and you help them figure out the best way to solve.
It's a lot easier if somebody comes in, they say, this isn't working, and you say, well, I you have to bring in the broken part, and that way you get rid of them. You don't have to deal with them anymore.
I think, people don't always know what their problem is, so they come in and they'll describe a situation, and we would work with them to figure out the best way to solve their problem.
All right, you go the extra mile. What's that have to do with building this business?
That's how we started our business. Patrick and I met on a government client, and we realized that we kind of shared a passion for working with the customer to figure out what their real problems were and how the best way to get there.
Interesting. So if a client's got a problem, or they think they got a problem, you really dig deep to make sure it's the real problem.
Right. They don't exactly...
Mm-hmm. Richard?
Glenn, just to continue, I was interested in your description of what you guys did for fun when you were younger. Can you talk about that a little bit and how that may be impacting you in business right now?
So I think we had two different stories. I was talking a little bit about my family. It was a sailing family, and we used to spend a lot of time on the water. And I took to sailing early and really enjoyed it. And I think that sailing is kind of a complex problem, and I liked trying to figure out all the different aspects of what was going on the water with the wind and the water and the currents. And
How young were you when you were doing this?
Started very young. I think by the time I was 10, I was kind of skippering the boat for my family.
What? You were 10 years old and you're skippering the foot, and your family was letting you do this, risk their lives?
I was the best one at it, I guess.
I figure out all the complexities all the time. Things are moving all the time, and the complexities of selling. What's that have to do with running a business?
Well, I think it's a direct parallel, right? There's just, in the business, there's personnel issues, there are customer issues. It's just there are a lot of things moving at the same time, and I think I'm pretty good at
taking just figured I'd ask. I didn't realize the similarities between selling and building a business. Bruce?
Well, I thought it was interesting you both, all kidding aside, we sort of joked about the fact you both sort of referred yourself as king of the nerds in Orangeburg, so either there's a huge number of nerds there, or they were separated by a number of years. But there's a leadership piece there that's very true to that. And can you talk to that a little bit?
Well, I think that we talked about the fact that I think both of us tend to organize our friend groups, and there was a lot of I was a person that never liked to not know what we were going to be doing. So I think I'm a little bit of a type A personality in that constantly a planner. So I would generally be the planner for all the activities that my friends would participate in and we would do. And I think that kind of translates to how I am as an adult. I don't like not knowing what's next.
Mm-hmm. Same for you, Glenn?
Yeah, I think I like harmony, right? So that led to me organizing people socially when I was a kid. But in business, I kind of like to get everybody to have a common understanding of the problem and get us all moving to solve the same problem and understand it the same way.
Glenn, you're skippering a boat at a young age going around the Long Island Sound. There's no margin for error. If there's a problem, it's a big problem. Can you talk about that for a second?
As it relates to business or as it relates to selling?
Business.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe there's a little bit more margin for error in our business, but, we work a lot with the military and defense industry, and somebody in a meeting one time said, you know, this problem is a mess, but nobody lost their life today, and that's a good day for me. And, you know, I take that to heart. I think we work very hard to find the right solution, but we recognize that not everything is a crisis, and we can work through it.
Patrick, when you were supervising the fuel pumpers, and you mentioned you learned how to manage and interact with employees, how about interacting with customers? What did you learn then that applies today?
I think it was a local gas station that I worked at, so there was it was a regular customer base, and not only did we pump gas, but they also ran a mechanic, shop. And I think, that business was all based on repeat customers, and so you had to have great relationships with the customers, otherwise they weren't going to come back. You know, it was kind of like a mom and pop type gas station, as opposed to some of the types today. And I think you learn that relationships win the day, and that you have to have long-term relationships with people in order to sustain the business. And I think that's been kind of the mantra. We're all about the long-term relationships and building, that relationship with people.
So you guys have both been the leaders and the captains, for your entire life. How do your team members benefit from that?
Well, I think that we try to recognize that neither one of us has all of the skills we need to get the team to the end zone, in terms of success. I think both of us, I think, would prefer to be the dumber guy in the room and have smarter people working for us. And I think that as we try to build relationships with our clients, it's also about building relationships with the employees. We want long-term employees. We want people to view the relationship with us as a long-term opportunity for them, as opposed to just a job.
Jen, do you have a question there?
Sure. So you both mentioned earlier that your moms have played significant roles. For instance, Glenn, that your mom was the go-to problem solver, and Patrick, that your mom actually went back to college in elementary school, but she was like the organizer and planner for you. And how do you incorporate what you learned from them into what you do now?
I think for me, what I got from my mom is being empathic, and so we treat our relationships with our teaming partners and our government clients and our employees as long-term relationships, as Patrick said. And I work very hard to be understanding and make sure that all those relationships are mutually beneficial and that they work for as long as they work together for all parties, and then sometimes they stop working. But I got that empathy from my mother, I think.
I understand that you guys are partners, right? And why would you be partners? Why not just do it yourself? Because in business, I read the newspapers, people are suing each other all the time, and you can't trust people. Why would you be partners? Why wouldn't you just keep all the money for yourself?
I think it's the difference between a go-it-alone mentality and a team mentality. I think both of us recognize that it's a lot more stress and a lot more risky to do this alone. And I think
You think it's more risky to do it alone as opposed to do it together? Because you can end up fighting with your partner and stuff.
You might, but I think the issue is, I think I recognize I have weaknesses, and I think Glenn has weaknesses, and I think that the key is that both of us also have complementary strengths. And so, you know, you have to be willing. It's like a marriage. You have to be willing to talk it out, and you have to, sometimes there's going to be disagreements, but...
Well, how do you solve problems? You throw things at each other, or how do you do that?
Well, he's right about half that. He has weaknesses. We have very complementary personalities, I think. And
you guys really get along nicely.
We get along nicely.
What's the website address for this organization known as Quadrant?
Quadrant.com. Quadrant is spelled with an INT.
So it's Quadrint.
That's right.
Quadrant.com. We've been speaking with Glenn Merberg and Patrick
Atchison,
who are the managing principals of Quadrant here on Executive Leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break. Nice. And your name is?
Michelle DeCintio.
And the name of the organization?
Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman.
And Michelle, where are you from originally?
I'm from Boise, Idaho.
And what was going on in your childhood that was a little different than some other people?
Well, I don't know that it was different, but, you know, my parents divorced when I was a teenager.
And because of that divorce, what did it do to you in terms of ultimately what you wanted to be involved with?
I wanted to be involved where, at the end of the day, you could have a win-win solution and not have...
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a corporate and government contracts attorney.
So do you get that win-win? Are you able to create that in your role with this law firm, Odin, Feldman, Pittleman?
Absolutely. Most of our clients are mid-size government contractors, and we really try to help those clients get to where they want to be. And in particular, I do a lot of mergers and acquisitions, so I'm helping the clients, you know, propel their business forward or maybe exit when they're ready to retire.
So you're telling me that in terms of wanting to create a win-win, you know, as opposed to litigating and ripping things apart, you like the merger and acquisition area. You like the corporate transactions where you're making things one.
Absolutely, yeah. I like to be able to sort of further the business instead of deal with the, you know, the uglier side of things. I mean, clearly people still have to deal with that side, but that's not what I wanted to do.
Right. What you want to do is you want to, so you're really getting to know your clients. You have, you're getting to really understand what their needs are and really work on their side of the fence.
Absolutely. What I really like is learning about their business and about them and where they want to go.
What's the website address of this organization?
It's OFPlaw.com.
Let me have that one more time.
OFPlaw.com.
And your name again is?
Michelle DeCintio.
And the name of the organization?
Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman.
This has been your Business Spotlight.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And we'd like to introduce Steve Marino, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Agency Q. Steve, what is Agency Q? What are you guys doing?
Agency Q is a digital marketing firm.
How large or how small is that?
We're 30 people based in Washington, D.C.
And where are you from originally?
Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
And how many brothers and sisters?
Just one.
One older or younger?
One younger brother.
One younger brother. So how did you feel as a kid growing up in Scotch Plains, New Jersey? What did Mom and Dad do for a living?
Dad was in financial marketing and Mom was a stay-at-home mom.
And so what were you like as a kid?
I was an introvert. I like to stick to myself.
You like to stick to yourself. Give us an idea. What kind of sports did you play?
Swimming was my favorite.
Why was it swimming?
One, because I could be by myself when I was alone in the lane. But two, it taught me the accountability of having to do an excellent performance yourself while contributing to a larger team effort.
So you liked, even though you liked the heat on you, even though you knew you were going to be affecting the team. And in fact, you knew you were going to be affecting the team. And how young were you when you started making money?
I was 14.
What would you do?
I worked at a garden center.
Whose idea was it?
It was my own.
Why?
Just to get out of the house.
Tell us more about that.
I felt in my house that I didn't necessarily fit in. Not that it was a bad house to grow up in, but I wasn't necessarily similar to my family. So the more I could be on my own, the better I felt.
So as a kid, you didn't necessarily feel connected, and that drove you to be a little bit separate. How's that affecting your adult life nowadays?
Now it wants me to connect people. I see how relationships work and how people get along and how they don't get along, and I try to make it all work together seamlessly.
So as a kid, you felt separate. You mentioned earlier that you felt like you were adopted. So as a kid, you know, the sports you were playing, the job you got to get out of the house, you wanted to separate. What's fascinating, though, is the business you're in is connecting, not just in terms of what the agency does, but also in terms of your role. Isn't the John, didn't you have a point about stepping back and strategy and stuff like that?
Yes, Steve, you're not only the president, you're the chief strategy officer. Sometimes those could be opposite roles. A strategy officer needs to be able to step back, see the landscape, maybe even tell the president something they don't want to hear.
Right.
How young were you when you realized you had this capacity to step back from the situation and see the whole field?
I think that was when I went away to school. when I went away to college when I was about 17, 18 years old, when I was able to start to figure out for myself what I needed to do. I needed to put a strategy together for my life and what I wanted to do, and that's when I put it all together.
Got you, Jeffrey.
So, Steve, you said you liked swimming because you were able to contribute to a larger team effort, but you also said you felt like an introvert. So how do you reconcile those two?
I think being an introvert makes you want to be with people in a certain way. You want to connect. So the more that I was able to connect because my individual performance contributed well, I felt like other people would accept me.
And how's that working in your business today?
It works really well today because I feel like if I can put out a really good product, it gives the team something strong to build from, and then it's a team effort.
Question. John.
You had mentioned earlier that you and your brother were polar opposites. He was the very social, outgoing guy. You were the introvert. How does that play out in your current role as a chief strategy officer with Agency Q?
You know, it makes me see the value in being the person. For as painful it is for me to be a social person, I see the value in it in bringing a team together and wanting people to be around you and contribute. So it, mm-hmm. it really taught me how to.
Who were your role models growing up being an introvert? How did that help you and impact your life today?
It was my grandfather. He was an uneducated man, but he was very well read, and he just taught me that if you do the things that you like to do and do the things you want to do, you can succeed.
Sure. Mark?
Steve, you indicated that you had a sort of a solitary perspective growing up. What would be your impression of a business person as a child?
What would be my impression of a business person as a child?
What would you as a child have thought of somebody like you now?
I would have thought somebody like me was an empty suit. I would have thought that somebody like me was just pushing around papers and not really contributing to a bigger team.
Kristen?
What's some advice you can give to an introvert child like you at the age of 8 to 14 that can be successful like you and be an extrovert in some way?
Put yourself in that pain zone and get out there and really just make it work.
Mm-hmm. Z?
So strategy isn't just about seeing the big picture, but it's actually affecting the change. So how did you going back to your childhood, how did you actually change the world around you?
I changed the world around me by really trying to understand the world around me and what the problem is and then solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. John, did you have a question there?
Yeah. What of your grandfather shows up in your work today at Agency Q?
Just his relentless pursuit to constantly be working. He always wanted to be doing something.
Mm-hmm. Fred?
If I can make an analogy, the first 18 years of your life are sort of like free trial demo period. Now you're an adult, pay to play. What do you bring from your overall childhood into your adulthood today, not only in the business, but in your life in general?
I try to have a lot more fun as an adult than I did as a kid. I missed out on a lot of fun. So no matter whether it's work or play, I want to make it as enjoyable as possible for everybody with me.
Why? Is that such a priority?
Because you get more out of people when they're enjoying what they're doing than when they're being forced to do something that they may not be really into.
How'd you realize that?
Because I was forced to do a lot of things I wasn't really into.
What do you mean?
You know, I worked for companies where you had to fit a certain role and you had to fit a certain model, and they didn't want you to be who you were. They wanted you to be who they wanted you to be. And I feel like it's more important to let people shine as who they are and then find the talent that comes with that.
Oh, interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Were those jobs better or worse than driving a forklift when you were 14 at the Garden Center?
They were worse.
Why?
Because the forklift was, again, it was like swimming. It was me and it was me alone, and I was able to perform. And if I didn't perform, everybody knew it. I couldn't blame the umpire. I couldn't blame somebody else on the team. I messed up, and there was no one else to look at but me.
What's the website address of this organization called Agency Q?
AgencyQ.com.
We've been speaking with Steve Marino, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Agency Q. John, can you give us a rundown on who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Our first guest today was Viraj Gandhi, CEO of Paradigm Management. Then we talked to Karen Killian, CEO of LMD Agency. Our third guest was Mark Watson, owner and co-founder of Exterior Medics. And we just talked to Steve Marino, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Agency Q.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Kristen Rebeck, Cressa, John Hill and George Mason University, Mark Haas, AEG, Zvi Bond Contactually, Ali Alaj, Boost Labs, Jeffrey Hervey, Bregman Berber, John Bailey, Wood Street, and Fred Press, Press Dozier, and Hamelberg for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.